Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Dr. Lavert Kemp. May I just say God bless everyone, our listeners today. We're truly, truly blessed to see another day as we go along through this time that we're going through a pandemic with the COVID-19 virus. It's very important that we stay inside. And while we're inside, let us learn something about the world. Let us learn something about anthropology. Let us learn about the genetics. Let us learn about the theology, black theology, and the study theological concepts of the Bible itself, and not let us go where everything have been made Eurocentric, and knowing that in the past that there were never any whites in that certain area at that time. So let us continue to do our own study and not be part in that. African Americans played no part in it. History will tell. Great historians throughout the Bible, Josephus, Tacitus, and others, Philo, all call the children of the Hebrew, the Israelites, said that they were of African descent. So let us be mindful, and let us be mindful. As always, I like to start off and do a refresher and go back to where we started from, because I think every time we come on, we have new individuals that are listening to our broadcast, and I would like you not to miss out on anything that we're talking about. We started off first talking about anthropology, and we start talking about the origin of man. And where did man originate from? We have heard of Darwin's theory of evolution and many other things like that. And we've heard that, and we've talked about that man came from a single cell amoeba, or from an ape, and that we evolved into being who we are today. But I like to say that man never evolved. I've never seen a gorilla or a chimpanzee turn to a human being. And they've been having zoos for thousands of years now. Animals are not changing, going through this little mutation or whatever to become evolving. That's the term, to human being. They stay the same. There's a difference between an animal and a human being. The Bible says that God made man a little lower than an angel. But I would like to go back, and certainly some of these things do really, I would say, refute Darwin's theory of evolution. Even when you look at it, we go back to 3.18 million years ago when Donald Johanson and Tom Gray, they were looking for rocks, you know, and they stumbled upon a fossil, and they called the fossil was named Lucy, because at that time in 1974, the Beatles had a record out called Lucy, and so the fossil skeleton in Ethiopia was in the southern parts of Ethiopia. And it simply became the understanding of the process of evolution, but also she became a household name, Lucy. And as I said, they date her fossils back 1.18 million years. But then there's also Professor Leakey, other than, you can look this up, because most of these that we're talking about right now, are Caucasian. They're not African Americans or Africans who wrote this. And it's a specific reason why I'm making these points, because they're going to tell you where the origin of man, they're anthropologists and archaeologists and geneticists that I'm going to present to you, all are Caucasian. And we're going to find out, too, that Lewis and Mary Leakey, they were British paleontologists who discovered the first fossil called Proconsul skull, and it was like an ape, and they said that it could be the mark between a human and an ape. And that was Mary Leakey. But then she went up further, and Zandranthropus, which means it simply means Northeast Africa. And she found skulls in the Odiv Gorge in Tanzania in East Africa. And several archaeologists and anthropologists, they went in and found fossils of human remains. Through excavations, they found artifacts like arrowheads that showed that thousands and hundreds and thousands of years ago, that man, it couldn't have been an ape, because man was capable of making weapons. It goes on further, and it talks about tracing them back to mitochondrial DNA. And if we trace back the DNA in maternal inherited mitochondrial DNA within ourselves, all humans have a theoretical common ancestor. And it's a woman. This woman is known as mitochondrial Eve. She lived between 100 and 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her. With her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since the time of Eve. In essence, what I'm saying, everybody, whether you're Chinese, Japanese, or whether you come from Africa, India, or European, you have her DNA. We carry that DNA. And the different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups we have today. But one thing we all have in common, we all share mitochondrial DNA of Eve. And some scholars have said you could find it more heavily concentrated in black women, because they come out through the maternal aspect. Now also, that was a man, fossil of a man, skeletal remains, who died 315 years before Christ, so roughly about 2,300 years ago in South Africa. In the closest relative to that human is mitochondrial DNA with Eve. He is the closest relative that they could trace back to mitochondrial Eve. They know that he was a fisherman from South Africa and was a genetic match for Eve. They found his skeletal remains around St. Helen Bay in South Africa by archaeologists, or white archaeologists. His name was Andrew Smith at the University of Cape Town. This is the first ancient human from the first ancient humans came from Sub-Saharan Africa, which is called the cradle of humanity, and we all have part of the DNA sequencing. We take DNA tests, but a lot of Caucasians or whites have a part of like a percentage of, like they say, unknown, but that simply dates back to that point of time. Now it gets to a point of time, and in the history and origin of an anthropologist where man left the cradle of civilization, which was in Africa, and migrated to what we call the European countries, where the weather is hot, it was cold, and man went through what you call a genetic mutation. And in that genetic mutation that man went through, found that man began to look different. The skin color was different. And we find that through this came about the dominance. And when you look at it, it's called Professor Leakey. Professor Leakey, Gregoire, that's not Leakey, but I'm serious. The geneticist was Gregoire Mendel. And Mendel talks about the genetics of the genes of man. And Mendel states in his genetic discovery, he discovered that dark brown or black is dominant, that brown eyes is dominant, that blue eyed is a recessive gene, that brown skin or dark skin is a dominant gene, and light color is recessive. I often make a little joke about it. I often say you never find a white horse in the Kentucky Derby. And the question is why? Because it's not a thoroughbred, meaning it's not pure. And when you look at a mutation means something immutable came off of another something. And so you find that the white Caucasian race went through a stage of mutation and that color came about. Now, we know that one thing about this is the fact that you could take two blacks and make a white child, but you can't take two whites and make a black child, because the black is the dominant that all other race came from. Now, I've told you that Mendel's law says that light skin is recessive and dark skin is dominant. Now, when you study it further, they have what you call, Mendel had three laws. It's called the law of inheritance. And the inheritance is the genes that we inherit from our parents. And the law of dominance of segregation is the second one. The dominant law of segregation states that when those who left out of Africa went in Europe and began to live in caves, even Neanderthals, that they begin to change. They went through what we call a mutation. And when they went through the mutation, they call it the law of dominance of segregation. When a certain group of people are segregated in a certain area and only cohabitates or breed with that same group, they begin to turn the color, and the color begin to be a light, and they begin to look alike. And the law of dominant assortment, those that look that way are independent assortment. And they were different. That's how it came about, different. So out of Africa and Europe, the mutation in the skin color and the recessive gene. We get two genes from one from each parent. We get a gene from the father, a Y chromosome, and we get an X chromosome. X and Y chromosomes say that you are a male. Females don't have the Y chromosome. And so we want to see that by law, the dominant part that appear from contrasting characters across only one form of the trail will appear in the dominant trait. And you've noticed that if you have a African-American or African and a white female would have a child together, that child would always come out like the dominant, the darker complexion one. Even if it's a white male have a child with a black female. The dark color is the dominant color, and the child will take more genes after the more dominant, because dark things are more dominant. Now, I've been talking about that, and I also, when you get a chance to, I want you to look up Mendel's Law, and you can look up, that's Gregor Mendel. If those who haven't studied about geneticists, either then you could go to, I said Gregor Mendel, and then you could go to Professor Leakey. And when you study about Professor Leakey, you could find about his wife and himself. His wife's name is Mary Douglas Mendel, and his name was Louis Leakey. And they made some wonderful discoveries. See, Lucy was called Australopithecus. That's what Lucy was called. But then you go to Zenzanthropy, would be under, and that was Archipipicus was under Donald Johansson and Tom Gray, but Zenzanthropus, that came under Lewis and Mary Leakey. And so we did that. We've come out and we found out that man really originated in origin was Africa, and that the first man was of a dark complexion, and that they left out of it. That's why they have stories called Out of Africa. And as we study Out of Africa, and that's the cradle of civilization, and all your books, they'll tell you the cradle of civilization is just in Northeast Africa, right around what they call Sub-Saharan Africa. And we know that the closer you are to the equator, the darker you are. And the people that came from there were of a dark complexion, even all the way to biblical time. In biblical time, the Holy Land would have been considered as North Africa. It would have been considered as North Africa. Now, even in studying to get my, and we're going to go into biblical time, because so much stuff has been asked about the Bible, because Europeans have put so many lies into the Bible and did so much unjust to the theology of the Bible, the study of God of the Bible. It's been other races other than Europeans have been shut out. Although we know that there were no, the white race didn't originate around Asia Minor or whatever you want to call it now, but it was North Africa at that time. For some reason, and some reason that was ungodly, blacks were totally left out of the Bible. I myself wondered as I was growing up and seeing movies on television, why was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even if they show a picture of God, he was white, and everybody in the Bible was white, but they didn't come from Europe. And then the Bible talks about where the Garden of Eden, but before it talks about the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that, and I'm gonna break some things down to you about this. The Bible talks about God creating man. But the Bible say when God created man, they say he created man from the dust of the earth. I've never seen white dust. Then where it was located at, it tells me that, see, sometimes you talk out both sides of your mouth when you say things. But now, the Bible talks about the location of the Garden of Eden. And it talks about it had four rivers that watered the garden because no rain had happened. It talks about the first river was called the Pishon, and it encompassed the land of Havilah. And Havil is the son of Cush, the father of Ethiopia, and the son of Ham, meaning it was in Africa. And Cush and Metherim and Put and Canaan. Now they say the son of Cush is Sheba and Havilah. You could find that in Genesis 10, 6, and 7. And it tells you so that if that river would encompass Ethiopia, it was in Africa where the garden was located at. And then it goes on to say that the region is now that they talk about is now called Somaliland or Djibouti. They say, and the second river was called the Gihon, which is the Nile. And I want you to understand, you got the Pishon and the Gihon River, which does not run in the continent over in the Middle East, which you were on Iraq. It is in Africa. Now, we know that the Nile breaks off in the two rivers. They got the Blue Nile, and they have what you call the White Nile. They go on and it talks about the third river in the garden because they say it was four. They call it the Hiddekel, and the fourth was the Euphrates River. See, now the U.S. News and many other magazines state that Africa is recognized as definitely the birthplace of mankind. The Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, in the 11th century Bible commentary, Rasha both agree that the Gihon, which departed from Eden, was the Nile. Now, this is one of the greatest historians of the Hebrew of Israel, who plainly states that the Gihon River is the Nile River. That's in Africa. The Jewish Rashid, which is called Rashid Solomon ben Isaac, have a commentary on the Bible that is still being used by Bible scholars today. In studying the Bible, we should understand the nature of the Bible that we study here in America and in Europe today, the nature of the people who translated the Bible. King James translated the Bible during the time of slave trade. This was a very, very profitable market of humans. We should understand that many other European scholars who translated the Bible were prejudiced against Africans. For this reason, many untrue statements have been made such as black race is a curse because of Cain. Today, many believe that we should be servants or slaves. They believe we as a race are inferior to the white race. And I just showed you where they said that dark skin is dominant and whites are recessive. But God created all mankind, and no one is better than the other because we would fall in the same category of those who enslave blacks if we start saying that we're better. And before I go any further, there's a different definition. The definition of a racist. And it's hard for blacks to really be racist, especially African American. A racist is one that thinks that his race is dominant or someone else is inferior to them. African Americans have only wanted to be treated fair and have liberty. So it's hard to be a racist when you only want to be treated fair. Now, racism is hard for blacks to practice racism because we don't own anything and we cannot hold anything back. The people with the money, the majority of the money are white, so that's racism. So when people put that to you, ask them to go to the dictionary and define those two terms. King James was, and the slave trade was a business. We must overlook the injustice and prejudice of many Bible translators and seek the truth. Many scientists and world researchers are aware of the overwhelming evidence that Africa is the birthplace of man. The oldest bone weapons, tools, utensils, and civilization are found in Africa and not Asia. Ezekiel 29 and 10 mentions more than one river between Egypt and Ethiopia. Although not mentioned by name, the Pishon is possibly mentioned as the upper branch of the Nile. Professor Aronne and Avik Yana in the Macmillan Bible Atlas identified the Pishon with the upper branch of the Nile. And Gersh Manzel Darat on page 35 through 50 in 1969, Pelagic Bible Dictionary, and the Roman Thurian Pliny spoke of Havilah in East Africa. The Hastings Bible Dictionary, the Cushite Havilah journey from Africa to Arabia. After searching the map of Africa, I found that the northern coast of Africa is bordered by the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean. So when it talks about this encompassing the land, the rivers that encompass, it had to be around Somalia, Ethiopia, in those areas. That's where mainly you'll find where the Garden of Eden was located. But now part of it, they talk about the Hiddekia River and the Euphrates. But I found out that if you look on a map today, they said that the Hiddekia River, which they claim is the Tigris, ran east and west, but it runs parallel with the Euphrates River that run north and south. So I don't know if the Hiddekia River was the Tigris. But nevertheless, I believe that the land masses were joined together, and after a time, after the deluge of the time of Noah, the flood, that the land masses separated the civilizations and made the Middle East separated from North Africa. And you had Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and other places like that. And it came about. But that was during the time, you know, where there's the great land mass lost in the pre-Mediterranean Sea or the Red Sea, and the Persian Gulf probably was formed. And so it goes on. And now we're going to get to a point. Now, the Bible talks about, after it get to that point, it makes a statement. And this is very important that I told us to start looking into this. When you go to the book, after you leave there, you go to a portion of your Bible. And your Bible talks about building. They begin to build a tower to get to heaven in the book. But before then, it talks about this, and this is important for I wanted us to look up. In the book of Genesis, in that 10th chapter, around the first to the third verse, it talks about the sons of Noah. Well, they call the first son, they call Japhet, which most people say is the father of the Caucasian or the white race. They said unto Japhet, sons were born after the flood. Now what it does, it states that Japhet had a son, and his son was Gomer. But he had a son, and his grandson name was Eskenaz. Now, that's why the majority of the individuals that live in the Holy Land, that they say that they are Eskenized Jews. Well, you cannot come off Japhet and be an Israelite or a Hebrew. You have to come off the lineage of Shem. You can't come from Europe. And if you look up and find out where the Eskenaz are from, they'll tell you Lithuania, Caucasia, and Russia. And, you know, the Bible says in Revelation, those are people that say that they are Jews or whatever and are not. There are a lot of people who have taken up the religious belief, but not from the lineage of Shem. Now, I want you to understand that it talks about Ham and talks about Ham having sons. And it talks about Sam. Ham's son was Cush. And Mederim put Canaan. And also they talk about the sons of Cush with Sheba and Havilah, Sabbathai and Ramah, and Sheba Tiacha, the sons of Ramah, Sheba and Dedan. And it talks about, and Cush begot Nimrod, who was mighty before God. And they said, Nimrod was the mighty one, and God said he was a mighty hunter before God. And they say he began to build a kingdom of Babel, Egret, Akkad, Calneba, and in the land of Shinar. Now, I want us to understand and go back to it. We're going to find out this is right before Abraham came forward to Chaldees. But they give the name, remember, Put Cush and Metharim. Now, I want you to understand that when Ham had these children, the Hamites were the Ethiopians, they were the Egyptians, they were the Libyans, and Canaan. And they lived in the Holy Land today, what we call the Holy Land, was called the Land of Canaan. It was named after one of Ham's great-grandson named Jabus, J-E-B-U-S. And they say that Ham was supposed to be black. When we want to look about and find out who are these people. But now, then it talks about having another son. And that son name was Shem. But before we even go into Shem, it talks about Nimrod built kingdoms in Babylon and around that area, Erech, Akkad, Calneba, in the land of Shinar. Now, I was doing something on that about the land of Shinar and the Cimmerians, and I asked a question. I Googled it and asked a question because Abraham came from that area. What color was the Cimmerians? And to my surprise, they said that they were chocolate with stoop noses. That means short, fat noses. And you know who have that. You know who's chocolate color. And that's where Abraham came from, or the Chaldees around Mesopotamia. So a whole lot of questions are being answered. And when you want to find out who in the Bible were dark-skinned people, you look up Shem, and you look up Ham, and you'll find out they are the progenitors of the dark race. It's good that we learn this, and it's good that we learn this, too. See, it behooved me to say that the Phoenicians were blacks. These black people were proficient in philosophy, astronomy, geometry, arithmetic, and navigation. These black Africans had good harbors, which enabled them to navigate to this different land. And the Phoenicians were skilled also. They were skilled in metalwork, needlework, and embroidery. They were able to extract dye from oyster shells and other things. And now we find that the English alphabet was derived from an ancient black nation. The Phoenicians had a powerful navy. They were a great trade. When the Phoenicians traded with the Greeks did not have an alphabet. As a result, they adopted the Phoenician alphabet in order to transact business. The Greek passed this alphabet system to Rome, and the Rome transmitted to the German Anglo-Saxon tribe. That's why we say when we think about things about hooks on phonics, alpha, beta, and that's where you get your alphabets from. The Phoenicians started that. The Phoenicians and the Hebrew alpha and bit, A-B. So these are things that we don't know because we don't really research them. But there are so many parts in the Bible and in Scripture that Africans have played in us. When you look at the origin of Abraham, the coming from Ur of the Chaldees, and talking about Haran, and you find out that these are the places in Babel, which is Iraq. We're talking about the mighty hunter for the Lord, which was Nimrod. Shinar, talking about Calneba, and the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and built Nineveh. And all of these are descendants of Nimrod. These scriptures, one must have a map of Asia Minor before Abraham. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, we find these words, that Nimrod, the grandson of Ham, began his kingdom around Ur the Chaldees. We are not to be fooled. The Bible called this area Shinar. Abraham, coming from this region, would have to be of a dark race or black Cushite. They even said, the World Modern Nation even said that during that time it was most likely was an Ethiopian empire in that area during that time. The Bible tells us that God confounded the tongue. And the Bible says, and that's the 11th chapter now. I want you to pay close attention to this, because if you pay close attention at the Tower of Babylon, the different people, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, separated. Japheth went up into Europe. Shem stayed right around the Holy Land and around the land of Arabia and Shinar. And also, Ham's children stayed there. In what we call the Holy Land today, Jerusalem, that's the land of Canaan. That's Ham, the black man Ham. His son was there. Ethiopia, all that was black. Egypt, Libya. Simon, you know, we talk about black Simon of Cyrene, they were black. In the Family Bible Dictionary by Dillon, contains an identical book of King James Version with additional text of Apocrypha. Now, it talks about Judah, Tobit, Esther 1 and 2, Wisdom of Solomon, Birch, and the prayer of Manasseh, king of Judea, and the first and second book of Maccabees. It states clearly that the book of Judith 5:1-24, that Abraham was a descendant of the Chaldeans, which means that he was an Ethiopian, the builder of the Chaldees, were Hamanic in race and language and civilization. Archaeology discovered rocks and annals and cuneiform records have conclusively demonstrated that the Hamanic Negro were the earliest settlers of Ur. The African Ethiopian Empire had for ages dominated Ur. Some Chaldeans were a mixed race. They were Semites and Hamites. And some were pure Ethiopian, a breed of Hamite race. Those who were mixed had strong Negroid feature. In other words, the Semites or the Shem were dark-skinned people. The early Shemites and Hamites possessed deep, dark skin, woolly hair. Now, this is something that I want you to understand, and you can find this in your Bible. Yellow and white hair found among the ancient Semites or Hebrew was feared and socially shunned. In other words, it was almost looked at if you had blonde hair as being a curse. It was almost like having an albino. Let us not forget that Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race, fathered a son too. His son, the first child that he had, his name was Ishmael. And we should understand that the worship of God was in Egypt before the time of Moses. Let us not forget that there were three sons of Noah. They were all brothers and carried a lot of their father's tradition and belief with them. History tells us through records from the Egyptian hieroglyphic, the God of the Hebrew Laredite forefather in Exodus 3:3, since they had yet adopted Yahweh Jehovah in Egyptian hieroglyphics. Say they had adopted it. It is in Hebrew or in Greek and in Latin, who in fact replaced El Shaddai in Exodus 4, a tribal deity without any form of a holy sacred scripture before one was introduced by Moses. Now, it's important to understand that Moses learned so much. And what I love about God, God put Moses there. We know that. And this is important, too, to understand. We want to find out what color was the Hebrew. Well, Moses' mother put Moses in a basket and put pitch and tar on it and made something like an ark. We call it the Ark of Safety in theology. And when Pharaoh's daughter seen the ark, she had her maidens to get the ark and bring the child in. She named him Moses because the name Moses means to be drawn from the water. But now it's important to understand that Moses had to be, now, during that time, Africa was governed by, at least Egypt had black king at that time. So his daughter is black and he's black. You can't bring a white baby if you just put out a statement saying kill all the firstborn a year or two above that come off the birthing stool. So they had to look alike for him to pass for the grandson of Pharaoh. Now, it's something that you have to understand. Even during the time when Moses left and Moses met his wife Zipporah, which was an Ethiopian, which in the word Ethiopia is called Cush. The word Cush means burnt face. Now it means burnt face. So when Zipporah seen Moses, she says that they thought Moses was an Egyptian. Now, this is something to think about. All these people, and even before Moses, when Joseph was sold by they say his brothers dug a hole and had him in this pit, but they wouldn't kill him, and they sold him to the Midianites. The Midianites were Ethiopians, and they were traveling caravan, and the Midianites got him, and they sold him to the Egyptians. Well, Joseph had to be the color of the Egyptian because when his brother came years later to purchase food because the famine came in the land, the brother thought he was an Egyptian. So evidently they were of the same color and the same race or breed of people. Now let us continue to unveil the mystery of the color of the original Hebrew. Let us look at the moreover the Old Testament personalities. May I state again, the purpose of this writing or this book is not to bring, and this is my thesis for my master, bring hatred among other races for past injustices, but to both enlighten and bring forth the truth about the part of Africans who played a role in the Bible as well as history. Let it be known to the reader that I believe the Holy Bible, but I believe racism has caused some things to be purposely left out. And I've stated before, have you ever thought about that the Suez Canal was not built until 1900s and all the landmass was connected and that part of the land, which is the Holy Land today, was considered as North Africa? You see throughout the Bible, they show lions, hippos, and all kind of other animals, which do not live there today since the water. They put a waterway to keep the animals stop coming. Now that we have studied Abraham, let us look further in the book of Jude. The taking of Negroes or black Amorite wife still constitute a thorny problem among Jews who returned following their Babylon exile. The ancient Jews were so black that many Romans mistook them for Ethiopians. The most rigid code among Jews to present miscongregationist fair, even the Jewish father of Abraham posed such marital forbidden by marrying a non-Jewish woman, a non-Hebrew woman of Africa. The lady was Hagar, who later bare him his first child, which is Ishmael. And let us pay close attention that white Europeans left out of the Bible in the 11th chapter of Genesis, and we'll find out they did not return until around the time of Alexander the Great. So it's not that the Bible was just written about Caucasian, because they were not in the Bible for hundreds and thousands of years at all. They left out the Bible and went up into Europe. Now let us pay close attention to the scripture in Genesis 38, 1 through 30. There we find that Jacob, fourth son, bore a Hebrew son. Now, Jacob, fourth son, bore two Hebrew sons. Now, his fourth son was Judah, but Judah's son married Tamar, who was an Ethiopian. But he died, and there was no one for Tamar to marry. And those of you who are studious of the Bible know that she posed as a harlot on the side of the road with a veil over her face, and that Judah was passing by, and Judah gave her his ring, his signet ring, and his staff, and he had sex with her. And when she began to be pregnant, he was indignant about it. He was supposed to stone her. She gave him his signet ring and his cane, so he knew she was pregnant for him. And out of that, came two kids, Zerah and Perez. Now, out of that, Perez married, out of that Perez came. Now, Perez, so the child is black. And the child, now we know, this is what I want you to find out, that we're going to find out that Tamar was black and married to intermarried, and she was the Canaanite father of Tamar was the daughter-in-law and mistress of Judah. We also keep in mind that in our study of the Bible that Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. The black Shua was a blood link ancestor to our Savior. Now, I'm just going to say this right quick. Through Jacob's grandson, Perez, you're going to find that Perez, who was an African, of African descent, he was a Semite and a Hamite. Well, he had a son named Hezron. Hezron had a son named Solomon. Solomon had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. Now, this tells you that all these dark people, that is no way King David was of light skin, that is David and that's Jesus' ancestry. Let us continue to pay close attention to the cross breeding. But both of them are black. The Hebrews were come from Shinar, so they were already black or dark skinned throughout the Bible. And it is easy to understand that black on black make black, or dark plus dark equal dark. We have been told for many years that we are inferior. We are a curse, lower form of a human being. We have been mistreated just as the Hebrew of ancient time. In studying the Holy Bible, we find a crossbreeding between Hebrews and the children of Ham, or blacks, went on despite of all laws in Deuteronomy 7 and 3, Nehemiah 31, 17, 18, Ezra 9, chapter verse 15, and 10, chapter verse 1 through 44. Such restriction exists at that time for religious reasons, not for race, not about race. The Hebrews were already a mixed people long before entering and departing Egypt. This is why some scholars in his theorem have written that Hebrew were of African origin. the Greek historian and geographer Strabo states that during his lifetime, it was not unusual for historians to think of Jews to be of African descent or ancestry. Strabo went on to say that Jews living in Western Judea were part African. Egyptians, the Roman Tacitus supports Strabo by saying Jews were of the Ethiopian race, that they were black. Modern white Jews received much of their praise, culture, and popularity from the history of the early ancient black Jews. The early Hebrews, the light complexion so-called Jew, contributed nothing to the early part of the Bible, to the Bible, biblical time. Hebrews developed, nor were they present during the Exodus from Egypt under Moses or the invasion of Canaan. You know, in seminary, I was talking about the conquest of Canaan. And when they came back into Canaan, they had to conquer that land. The white so-called Jews appeared on about 100 years after the death of Solomon, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants until the book of 2 Kings were dark-skinned people, largely mixed with African Hamite features. I would like to state light-skinned Jews began to appear because of crossbreeding with Greeks during the time of Alexander the Great. Then came the Roman conquest, and interbreeding again took place. This is how light-skinned or white so-called Jews came about. Let us continue to discover that the color of the ancient Hebrew race was. Back up above the statement reads in Genesis 38:1-11, 1 Chronicles 2 and 3. Let us go a step further to the history of Iraq. It is written in the World Mark Encyclopedia Nation under the past history that dates back from the time of Abraham in the land of Ur the Chaldees. Those who inhabited the country were dark-skinned people, inhabited. Shrines, implements, and pottery found on various sites can be dated as early as 5th millennium, 5,000 years. Some sites bear names that are familiar to the Bible, which consider the land between the two streams, the location of the Garden of Eden, Ur the Chaldees, the native land of the patriarch Abraham. Scientific exploration and archaeological research are amplified, confirmed, and systematized the half-historical, half-legendary Bible report. World Mark Encyclopedia of Nations, page 123, records history in Mesopotamia begin with the Sumerians, who originally linguistics and affinities have yet to be established with certainty. This tells us that Nimrod the Hamite was the founder of the Sumerians, who are direct descendants of Ham, who was known was black. Furthermore, Abraham came from Ur the Chaldees. He was black. To go even deeper into research, let our travel take us to the time of Joseph. And I told you that Joseph married Egyptian Potiphar's daughter named Asenta. And out of that charming daughter, Asenta, of Potiphar's the priest, she gave birth to two kids. And when she gave birth to these two kids, Manasseh and Ephraim was born on the African continent, and both were adopted by their grandfather Jacob upon his deathbed. For some unknown reason, gave the first birthright blessing to the younger Ephraim, thereby indicating that Ephraim was to become greater than his older brother. It is written in 1 Chronicles 7, chapter 20 and 27, that Joshua, who led the black Hebrews into the promised land was a descendant of Ephraim. So if Jacinta was Joshua's great-grandmother or grandmother, what color was Joshua? To understand the Bible, we must understand the history of the Hebrew, the Egyptians, and the Ethiopians. These three races played a great part throughout the Bible. Let us not stand idle and study history, talking about H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y in America and in Europe. The Europeans have falsified the Bible, and I've always heard this statement, he who write the narrative make the people be the color that they would like them to be, make them look and be who they want them to be. I watch many movies about Moses. I watch many stories about all this and all the Egyptians, because Egypt is this place with 43rd pyramid with no cranes or nothing to heavy lift us to do. And I've noticed that Europeans go as far as to say people came from outer space and built it, or some other people, instead of giving it that Africans built, Hamites built the pyramids. There are also more pyramids that was built in the Sudan, or the Nubians built more pyramids than that was built in than Egypt. And the Nubians were ruler of Egypt for quite some time. Now, in the book Ethiopia, the Missing Link of in African History, when you go back and then you look at the Webster College Dictionary, and let us see what Webster has to say. Webster says, by definition, Arab, a number of the Arabic-speaking people of citizens of Arabic-speaking nations, a member of the Semitic people, inhabiting since ancient times the Arab Peninsula and desert fringes of Mesopotamia, Levant, spreading throughout Southwest Asia and North Africa, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates were noticed. None of these races were white on that peninsula. Not one, even to the day, are white. And may I add that even if you talk to some Caucasians and even black soldiers that was over in Saudi Arabia, not Saudi Arabia, that fought over in Iraq and other places in that area, they call the people over there sad N-words. And you know what the N-word mean. I'm not going to say it, but because it's okay others to say it. But they call them saying N-word. So you know how the people even look over there to today. They do not look like European. Why that all of a sudden now Europeans are over there saying that they are the original Israelites or Hebrews? It says, and as we say, back in studying Egyptian history, it will support my theory of Ethiopia being one of the first empires. To go even further, Abraham was a part of an ancient empire, a book titled Ethiopia, the Missing Link in African History, supports the theory. The ancient empire of Ethiopia comes to us, will pass from the ancient days of the richest heritage of history. Ethiopia was considered by the Greeks as the home of the garden, the retreat of the masses, a land, fertile fields, river beds of diamond and mountains with gold and isles of blessing, a land of the setting sun where the giant Atlas was compelled by Olympus Jove to prop up the heavens on his shoulders. The vast desert which lies south of Atlas, known as the Sahara, is called by the Moors people, and we know who the Moors. The Moors are blacks. The Moors call it the Garden of Allah, where the chariots of the God, whose flaming wheels burnt the soil in the sand, scorch the children of Africa, crisp like the hair for which the word Ethiopia is termed. Ethiopia means burnt, or burnt by God. The word Ethiopia was originally pronounced Ethiopia, burnt face. Now, George Smith in the Chaldean account of creation, page 78, percepts from Babylon tablets that there was an original race of man at the building of the Chaldean history, a dark race who were called Adma-Oradami, the people of Atlas, Atlantis at least. Now let us go to Mr. Smith's Sacred Annals on page 49. He quotes the Hebrew commentator as saying, "Our rabbis assert that Adam, our father of the blessed memory, composed to the book of precepts, which was delivered to God in paradise. Ancient record now in possession of Haile Selassie, the black Ethiopian king, said that Aram was the 35th child of Abraham. He was the 35th child of Adam. Now, I want you to understand now this. If you ever read Josephus, the history of the Jews, or the antiquities of the Jews, or Flavius Josephus, on page 48, William Winston translates, says that there's a tradition, and you can find this in the Antiquity of the Jews, which says that Adam was the father of 33 sons and 23 daughters. The African language, we find that the African language is the oldest language in the world, and it had its birth and growth before and beyond the flood. The language that we call Hebrew is nothing but a deviation of a African tongue. G.R. Layton, in his book Man and His Migration, on page 156-7, on Ethiopia's Way, in the language of Abyssinian and Jeez, the Tigra, commit as long as they have been to be Semitic graduates through Amorites and the Phoenicia of black Ethiopian Jews to this day. And I want you to understand when you look at what you call a Phoenicia, F-A-L-A-S-H-A, they are black Ethiopian Jews. They are over in the Holy Land there, which they went and they brought 26,000 of them, because when they found them, they had earlier artifacts. Now, there is a saying that the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia, even to this day, that the Ark of the Covenant. Harry G. and Goffet and other language, which may be well studied in Dr. BK's valuable comparative table in Argonne tongue, are unequivocally indigenous to Abyssinia. Through this into the true Negro class, but unequivocally, as many be the Semitic element of the Beecher Coptic. Now, we got what you call Coptic Christians, and that's all even in Egypt. And Gullah, that's a language of Coptic, or what we call Gullah. We had that some slaves to the day around Carolina and Virginia, they say they spoke Gullah. Thy infinity with the tongue of Western and Southern Africa are more so. The Bible teaches that those who became Jews in Egypt as 70 sheepherders grouped in 12 patriarchal families. 400 years later, it was 600,000 men strong, not counting the women and their children. So if I give each one a wife, the 600,000 men a wife, and give them two or three kids, there was over 3 million when they left out. In 400 years of enslavement in the United States, it would be very hard to find a pure-blooded African. This transpired through the crossbreeding of the slaves and the masters. This is why today we have so many blacks that look white. You can call the Americans a rainbow. African American are rainbow people, from the lightest color of the spectrum to the darkest color of the spectrum. This happened to also to many Jews in the world through the Romans and the Greeks. They came into bondage in Egypt, dog, and left dog, but later they interbreeded with others and lightened them up. Dr. William Moseley, who wrote The Color of Jesus, along with many other scholars, support the fact on page 7. Mr. Moseley writes, "So if the original Hebrews were non-white stock, we may conclude that the original Israelites were considered more black at the time of the Exodus than present-day Israelites. Furthermore, historical records states, now listen at this, it's a furthermore historical record states that the ancient Egypt and Ethiopia were not only close geographically, but also close societal, culturally, economically, political. Bullshit secular writing described in presence of Ethiopia, people in Egypt and Israel from the Exodus to the birth of Christ in Nazareth. Now let us answer the question. If Hebrew were people of color, why did the Bible not state this fact? Why did King James in his translation omit the fact that Ethiopians and Egyptians were black? Is it the nature of Bible translators to make the word of God clear to the intended reader? Translators read the original language in which the Bible was written, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, and translated these languages into languages of their own kind. This process of translation allowed the translator's opinion, interpretation, to ease into the translation. Further, whether for the good or the bad, King James of England, the 17th century, was familiar with African, but he was familiar with African, but refused to clarify the term. The term Ethiopian did not imagine a black person as an Ethiopian to the English reader. They thought of somebody being white in mind, but the image of white person in blackish color, due to the hair texture, the skin color, Aryan heritage, and geographical location of the modern Ethiopian people. Why? Simply because King James translator refused to identify Africans whom they held as slaves with the Africans written in the Bible. Now let us continue to research what color were the original Hebrews or Jews. There is a tribe of people in Ethiopia called the Phoenicia. That Beta Israel. The dictionary defined Phoenicia as a member of a historical Cushitic speaking people of central Ethiopia, practice a form of Judaism. We find again, even Webster dictionary hides the fact that the Ethiopians are black. Furthermore, they refused to recognize the Ethiopian Phoenicia as a tribe of Jews. We realize that Abraham came from an Ethiopian civilization in Ur. Science and history verify these facts. The Bible and history tells us that Jews, Egyptians, Ethiopians married one another. When will this society realize that blacks are not ignorant people? Now that we have been somewhat introduced to the term fallacia, my intent is to give facts to this subject. I will present quotes from several newspaper articles to support my theory. The New York Times, dated Thursday, February 4, 1971, Edward B. Fisker, Ambora, Ethiopia, January 4, 5,000 acres of wilderness in a malaria-infested lowland of northwest Ethiopia are becoming something of a 20th century promised land for 25,000 black Falaysia Jews. The Falaysia, whose primitive form of Judaism survived more than 2,000 years in isolation from other Jews, live in Ambobora, and other nearby villages where they earn meager living as sharecroppers, potters, and metal workers. Then the London Jewish Chronicle, dated April 1973, Chief Rabbi Yosef officially recognized Falaysia as Jews. Rabbi Obadiah Yosef and Sephardi, Chief Rabbi of Israel, has given rabbinical ruling that the Falaysia of Ethiopia are Jews, and accept their claim that they are the descendants of the tribe of Dan. Rabbi Yosef also accepted the presidency of a public council on behalf of the Falaysia, of whom there are some 26,000 Ethiopians call themselves Beta Israel, Black Israel. In a letter dated February the 9th, 1973, Rabbi Yosef wrote Odiva Hazariah, who spoke on behalf of some of the Jews of Ethiopia and Israel, informing him of the ruling. After quoting a number of prominent religious leaders who had earlier ruled that the Falaysia were Jews, including the late Rabbi Abraham Kook, he was an Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Palestine, the late Rabbi Itzhak Hazaron. He's also an Ashkenazi chief rabbi. And Rabbi Yosef will continue, I have therefore come to the conclusion that the Falaysia are descendants of the tribe of Israel who went southward to Ethiopia. There is no doubt that the above sage who established that they are Falaysia are of the tribe of Dan. And we know Samson came from the tribe of Dan, investigated and inquired and researched this conclusion on the basis of the most reliable witness and evidence. It is my highest wish that my has been proved, the fact that and evidence I have presented. I hope that the reader or whoever listened to this and studied the history and continually to seek the truth. God said in the book of Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Let us as black African-American race never stop seeking the truth. Now, it's important that we understand that blacks in the Bible, we live in a society of black and white where racism and hatred prevail, a country that states anyone with 1/32nd of black blood is classified as a black African American. If this is true, let us trace the bloodline of Christ as our Savior. We will find that there are many, many Africans in his bloodline. Not just stating that even the Hebrews during the time, they were people of color. They were brown people, as I stated earlier. So what color would Jesus be? I will use the Bible and other books to provide the fact. It is very important that I lay a foundation so that anybody listening will be able to identify the African presence in the Bible. First, the word Ham is defined in Webster Dictionary as the second son of Noah. We find that the name Ham has been scripturally used to describe people and places beside the original meaning black. The same has also adopted other definitions such as dark, ebony, sunburned, chocolate, and brown. Furthermore, it is important to understand that even if you look at the Sumerians, they said that the Sumerians, where Abraham of the Chaldeans came from, and about 5,000 years ago, that they were people chocolate with stoop noses. Most black scholars throughout the ages have agreed that Ham and his offspring belong to the so-called Negro family of nations. Ham and his children are recorded in Genesis 10, chapter verse 6 through 20. We will find Ham's settlement was called the land of Ham for thousands of years, and is now what is known as Egypt and Africa. For some reason, they've taken Egypt off the African map and want to say Egypt is something different. The students of the Bible cannot identify black people in the Bible because we are used to hearing the term Negro, black, African-American, or African. The student who traces the Bible using these terms will search in vain. The basic Bible term is used to identify black African in the Bible word as Ethiopian, Cushite, Canaanite, Hittites, Jebus, Cushite, Cushai, Egyptian, Sheba, Havilah, Sabatha, Remoa, Shebia. Genesis 10 and 6. It is very important to know the names of the sons of Ham and his offspring. According to Sir Arthur T. Fitchburg and G. Massai, the Greek Herodias and the Roman Tacitus became other centuries of miscongenial nation. The Semites, including the Hebrew and Hamites, blacks or Negro, were largely a blend of one race. The reader of this information is asked to view the charts that they have, and it's called, you know, the Amorites, the Highlanders, or the Canaanites. The Canaanites mean Umber, the fourth son of Ham. Cush meaning black, Cushan. And they call Africa the land of Kim, and that simply means the land of blacks, even to today. And I'm talking about going way back. I'm talking about thousands of years ago. When you talk about the word Jebus, which is what Jerusalem is named after, is called the villager. Metherim is Egypt, Putsch is Libya, Sodom or Zadom means fisherman, Cushai is Ethiopia, meaning burnt faith, Heth is Hittites. Ham was the youngest of Noah's son. Ham was the patriarch, was not cursed dark, but created, born dark. Ham is considered the paternal ancestors of Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, Carthage, and many African tribes, northern and southern Arabia, Crete, Cyprus, Asia Minor, Hittites, and portions of Israel. And the black Americans all deal with Hamites. Cush in Ethiopia, Cush was the firstborn of Ham. His son were Havilah, Sheba, Shabbatha, Rama, Shabbaticha, and Nimrod. After God confounded the language at the Tower of Babel, Cush and his family moved south to Africa. He settled in northern Africa, northeast Africa. Cush is called the father of Cushai, meaning Ethiopia. This ancient land was ruled by many kings and queens, such as King Ra-Natisha and Pienka, Tutmos the Third, Queen Amentira. The reign in Ethiopia during the birth of Jesus was Candace. You can find that in Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 27. Metherim is Egypt, was the second son of Ham, and an African by blood. And this being the second son of Ham, he was the father of Ludum, Anium, Lahaban, Naphtuban, Perushim, K Kesh Luhum, Capitol, and whom we get the Philistines. During the desertion of Babel, Metharim also followed the two brothers Cush and Put to Africa. After arriving in what is known as Egypt today, populating an area known as Lower Egypt, which was once called Metharim. Metharim is still the ultimate name for Egypt. Egypt is called the land of Ham several times in the Bible. And it talks about Put, and it gives the different names of the different people that lived in these areas. Now, it talks about Zidon and the fishermen, that we get all these people that are in Jabez, who's Jerusalem, and Capitol, you know, the black Philistines and that area, which is the land of Philistine. Now, before I go too much further, and I'm going to allow you to ask some questions, I'll be allowing you to ask some questions, is the fact that I'm going to give you some terms to look up. Look up what color, Google, what color was the real Israelites. And in that, find out about the Lemba, L-E-M-B-A, Lemba tribe. And then go into what you call, another one is Igbo, I-G-B-O, Igbo tribe. And also go to your Google, the map of Africa dating 1747. And if you look there, they're going to have about the slave, where the slave trade was. You're going to see K-M, Judah, J-U-D-A. It says Kingdom of Judah. And we know that in A.D. 70, after Christ's death and before, when Solomon's temple was destroyed and the Romans and stuff first started coming in after that time, and Herod's temple, when the Romans and things came in, that they fled, the temple was destroyed, they fled out of the Holy Land, and they fled into Africa, where they could blend in, and they stayed there. They didn't go to Rome and interbreed with the Romans or others or the Greeks. They went into Africa and they maintained their color. And they are the Lemba and the Igbo. Their Lemba supposed to be, not supposed to be, but they took the DNA from the Lemba and find out they are the tribe of Levi, Moses, the tribe from with Moses. They are very dark-skinned people. And then they found out the other group, the Igbos, who the one are the tribe of Judah, the one Jesus came off of. They are very dark-skinned people out of Nigeria. So when we look at those things, then we're going to continue to do it, because it's not fair that we've been lied to for so many years to protect a man's ego. We know that the truth can never be told to us by Europeans that came to America. And we've been taught in America that the Indians and African were savages. But who came and killed up the indigenous people and took their land from them as it was okay, and then do it under a banner of Christianity? That's not Christianity. So I want you to think about those things. The very nature of the people who run this country. Even the day a black kid could jog and get killed. I remember once in Texas, several years ago, one had his head pulled off. People chained him to a car and pulled until his head came off. This is the group of people that go around with guns and cars and want to have their own way. That's who sell America. So when you're dealing with King James and the way he lied about the origin of us and what color the people in the Bible were, to be honest with you, that they left out the Bible for over 1,000 years and didn't come back in the Bible until around Alexander the Great. And that was over 1,000 years. They did in the Old Testament. They played very little part at all. And then when they came in trying to conquer and take over. So that's the true story of that. But we even have a lot our history is just profound. And my main thing, I want to expose you to the real color and who was the real Hebrew and Israelites. And you could go on online and ask what color was the real Israelites or Hebrew, and they'll tell you what color they were. So, again, I leave it open now for any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for that. We're going to open up the lines now. Pastor Kemp is standing by for anyone that have any questions, comments, or statements for him. Anything for Dr. Kemp, God bless you. Welcome to the show. The line is open for you. The line is open now, Pastor.
I want to know what was the name of Alexander's brother who had his daughter was the first biracial queen of Egypt.
Pastor, did you hear the question? He muted his phone. Pastor Kemp, unmute your phone.
Yes, it's unmuted now.
Okay.
Are you referring to the Queen of Alexandria? Or are you talking about Alexander the Great, the Conqueror?
Alexander the Conqueror. He had a brother, and the first biracial queen.
You talking about the Ptolemy? You talking about the Ptolemies?
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Are you referring to the Ptolemies?
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is.
So with the P. Ptolemies, you had the Ptolemies and the Seleucids that took over after Alexander didn't live that long. After he conquered almost the then-known world, he passed away, and he had two people. One of his brother was what they call him, the Ptolemies, and they had the other one was the Seleucids.
Right. That's it. That's it. That's right. You're right. I just forgot. I couldn't pronounce that word. Me and my wife were sitting here listening at the message that you was giving, and I just couldn't remember. And thank you for enlightening me on that.
Yeah, there's so much to that when we study about Africa and then as being African American, we only start 400 years, but we have a rich history that we were the original people, were black, and we played so big a part in the Bible, whereas at the Tower of Babel, white folk left out the Bible, didn't come back in until the time of Alexander the Great. Then Roman Caesar came in 200 years before Christ's birth. But the Greeks came in, which was Alexander the Great, 400 years. That's when you came up. When he died, you had the Ptolemies and the Seleucids that took over.
Right, right.
And that's what you're talking. Yeah. But they had, before Christ, before all that happened, they had what you call OL-MEC, Olmec people. They were black African. I think you and I talked about it earlier. With those colossal heads. That's called your Olmec people. And they have about 17 of them somewhere around Mexico and other places where they was already in the Americas, which we don't teach our children these things in school. All you hear about is a man who got lost and never made it to America named Columbus. Mm. A man that came and diseased up the Hispania and other places, he diseased the people up. He brought venereal diseases to them, killed them for gold and things. And so we celebrate this man, and we shouldn't be celebrating. But as Africans, we have, and of descendants, of Hebrew descendants, we have a rich history that have been truly stolen from us because we don't write the book, we don't carry the media. So he who write the book make the people be the color that they want them to be. But what they do is they lose ships and ship. They write about it and tell you what color the people is. When they were writing about these things, they wasn't allowing you to read because they didn't know the moment you start reading, you would know who you are. See, people don't read. If they read, you know, you'll find out so much And if you start asking questions and you know, doing your research, when you ask questions, you begin to find out exactly what's what. And when you find out, you go like, wait a minute. These people are people
right.
of color. These were black people. And the
right.
these Bible
like this, like,
wasn't white. Yeah, how could they be white? Here they say they're Sumerians and they were chocolate.
Right.
I never seen a white.
Yeah, never tell us
chocolate.
About the Lucy.
No, the Nubian. Well, the Nubian took over Egypt for a long time. The Nubians come from the Sudan, right around. The Nubians were part of Egypt. See, they border with Egypt. The Nubians were border Egypt, and they also border the Sudan. The southern parts of Egypt will be right around the Sudan. That's why there are more pyramids than they have in Egypt. It's right around the Sudan. Now, also
right.
that'll be your eastern. Some of the eastern part of Egypt will border Ethiopia. Ethiopians rule it. The Nubians rule it. Nubians ruled it for many, many years. They even the paint start peeling off some of the paintings. How the people look on the walls
right.
of the pyramid. They painted the people real light skin. They whitewashed
yellow.
The people.
right.
Yeah, they painted. They painted when the paint started peeling off. They went back a whole different color. But some of them they weren't able to do. Now there's a picture when the Assyrians took the Hebrews in as slaves, and I'm talking about the Assyrians with the ASS, Assyria,
okay.
not the Syrian. Assyria. They show a picture of the Hebrews and they had afros and everything else. But now all you have to do is look it up and they'll show you the pictures of it. And there's a lot of books that's coming out now about different blacks that's coming out. And I'm going to give a list of, and it'll have all this stuff in it. And saying, like right now, if you look up the thing about Limba, they'll show you a race of people so dark and find out that they were really the tribe of Levi where Moses came from.
Right, right. You told me about that
it's
earlier.
A lot
shot,
of things
right.
that we could look up, but we allow the same people who held us as slaves and have prejudice against us to tell us what color Jesus is, and we listen at them, and we don't do the research by ourselves. We believe whatever they teach us, and they brainwash us that we're nobody.
Right.
So that's right. one old thing. But I just want to say, yeah, this is my nephew, and he does a lot of studying. He studied very, very hard. He's very studious, and he want to know about how far we go back, where we come from, and things
right.
that I'm proud of. It.
Thank
Amen.
You, Amen.
I want to ask him, do you want to share anything with us tonight? Dante,
well, really,
do you want
to share? I'm just learning tonight. You kind of summed up everything. You know, you kind of summed up everything.
Okay. Well, we're on every Tuesday night, and if you do your research and you have some things that you'd like to, you know, you would like to speak about or say something when we get to our Q&A, you're more than welcome.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else would like to add something, ask a question? Dr. Kim, the line is still open for you. God bless you. Welcome to the show. The line is open for you now. All right, Pastor. No more questions. They're here, but no more questions.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank each and every one. I'll just say thank you to each and every one who tuned in tonight. God bless you and God bless your home. That it's very important that we start learning about ourselves. That's one of the reasons why our children have such a low self-esteem is because they're never taught about anything they did or people of their color did in school, elementary, junior high, senior high, and even in college. You only take black history for maybe a semester. You don't really take it. So
You really don't have anyone to build your self-esteem up. It's like you're not included in anything. So it's important that we learn of ourselves, and it's a reason why that people don't want you to find out that you are the real deal and that from you came life. All life came through people that look like you. Amen. I want to just say again, thank you, and we want to thank Reverend Williams for this radio talk show as he broadcast, and he began the show. We have a show we be on just about every night, but we study the Bible most of the time. But this is History Talk with Dr. Kemp, and we go all the way back to the origin where man first originated from, where the earliest fossils. We go back. And, you know, we want to talk about Gregoire Mendel, the geneticist and botanist. We want to talk about anthropology, paleontology. We want to talk about archaeology and see about all the stuff that they found, that white folk have found, all go back to Africa. And they know it, and they will say it, but you have to read it to hear them admit it to themselves that you are the real deal. Amen. And that you have a... that they have recessive and you have dominant genes. Amen. So, again, I thank each and every one for listening. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for everything that was said and done. We pray that someone learns something about themselves. We're not here to down any race or form, but the truth. For the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. Lord, we need to be freed from the bondage of ignorance. Now, Lord, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you bless our home, make our homes homes of love, homes of peace, and homes of prayer. Now, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would build us up where we're torn down and strengthen us where we're weak. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for another day. We ask a special blessing upon those who are in the hospital with COVID-19, those who are sick and shedding, those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. And Lord, as they prepare to send these stimulus checks out, we pray that you would move swiftly, and we pray that you would give more to the people who are in need. So many people are in need. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them, Lord, and that we continue to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth, and that we move closer and closer to learning who we are and whose we are. And we know, Lord, that we are made in your image. I've never seen white dust. If a person would take a white handkerchief and rub it across dust, it's going to come out black or dark brown. So that's what we have. Lord, now we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. We can't do it without you. We ask all these blessings in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. And I just want to say I love everybody, and there's nothing you could do about it. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. We love you too, Pastor Kim. Thank you very much for such a powerful show every Tuesday night right here on YAT Radio. Don't forget, everybody, Pastor Kim will be back with the History Talk next Tuesday, right after the new year, so get ready. We're going to be turning it up a little bit, so get ready for it. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we'll be here at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, breaking chains right here on YAT Radio. Everybody be blessed. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We're dying,
we're dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily,
living happily.
But you hurting me,
you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion.
Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.